You know what I just realized?
What, is Friday el cuerpo lo sabe?
Well, aside from that, mi cuerpo, I don't know qué sabe, but something sabe. Sabe algo. That you don't know how to dance cumbias.
I do know.
No, you don't.
Not like you and mom, but I know.
Exactly,
how.
So you don't.
Yeah, wait.
O sea, un swing left and right. O sea, that's not cumbia.
I am the best cumbia dancer ever, according to my friend.
She is the best cumbia dancer in her bedroom. Like, literal. Pero, güey, están cagados because nobody, de ninguno de los otros tres, nadie sabe bailar cumbias. Except for me.
Why does every episode have to be about you?
Because otherwise we wouldn't have a podcast. Just kidding. But no, honestly, like, escucho la canción, our intro song, and it's like, I want, like, you know, you want to dance.
I want to fucking.
What's going to happen when we have live podcast recordings y tú vas a llegar ahí with your, like, two left feet?
Luis, for those of you.
O sea, ni siquiera el Dr. Simi.
For the.
Like, girl, you need to get on it.
For those of you listening and that actually do know me, you know that all this is a lie. Because I can move.
Follow her Instagram that she doesn't know her own handle on. And then we will, then we can discuss. Anyways, how's your week, Cody?
My week was so busy. Oh my God, work is so busy. And I got a little sick, like, yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So it's, I haven't worked out this week, maybe like once or twice, and I don't know, my body's just.
You're like, but my body's telling me no. Well, you need to listen to your body because that's super, super important.
Pero hoy me siento un poquito mejor, de hecho, okay. Porque vamos a ir a putear's.
And this is why you get sick all the time, because wait, todavía no estás bien. This morning, you were like, I feel bad. My dad invited us to his favorite fucking place in the world, which is La Fondita de Garden Grove. And fuimos los tres, mi papá, tú y yo. And you ordered a caldo, which the caldo, it looked amazing.
Yeah, the caldo's good. But I never get caldo there because...
Yeah, but because you feel sick. So now you're going to go out tonight.
I have a date. So we're going to go do that.
Anyways. Well, how am I? How is my week?
Well, hold on. Let me get...
Wait, this always happens, Judy. This always happens.
Luis, porque you post every single detail of... What's going on Instagram or TikTok?
No, I don't. Well, first of all, anyways, that is the last time I ask how your week was.
How's your week, brotherly love?
Okay, it's been busy too. I just want to say that it has been very busy because Fernando is not here. Fernando's not in town. Fernando left on a cruise to the Bahamas last week. Or he's still there, actually. He just came back to Miami. And obviamente me invitó porque yo sé que van a empezar a decir, ¿y tú por qué no fuiste? Pero la verdad es que a mí no me llama la atención los cruceros. We all went on one, the whole family.
Oh my God, yeah, that was a blast.
Yeah, it was epic. It was epic because that one was a once in a lifetime because we were on one of the biggest cruise ships that holds over like 5,000 guests. And there were only 900 guests on that cruise because of COVID. And so we each had our own, you know, person helping
our own
room. Like it was insane. Pero yo me di cuenta de muchas cosas, and that's a whole other topic. And maybe we should do an episode on this. And maybe we should do an episode with Fernando.
On how he feels, yeah, because Fernando is like...
Fernando, he loves going on cruises. He loves it, absolutely loves it. Pero there's a lot that I saw that I wasn't really happy with, that I was like, not really interested. Y aparte, me cagan the crowds. Entonces, cruises now are like jam-packed, and I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, we definitely had a very, like, unique experience, and it was so much fun just... going with like your whole family except mom, she didn't want to go, but
because she's scared of the sea, she's afraid,
but it was a blast.
Pero entonces, like, if you haven't gone on a cruise, definitivamente go on a cruise because it's a experience that you I mean Si te llama la atención, ve.
Yeah.
Pero ya después, pues ya no. He's been out in Miami with his mom, his aunt, and his grandmother, and they are actually arriving back here in Southern California on Saturday, which is tomorrow. And then we are leaving to Las Vegas on Monday, and we're going to be there for a couple of days. Entonces yo estaba super ocupado, pero el lunes it was a holiday and everybody was here at the house and we were all having a blast. Bueno, a ver, let me backtrack.
Sunday.
So Friday, we go to Tijuana.
Oh, yes.
To go find my mom's insulina, because it turns out, o sea, mi mamá es diabética, it turns out that her new insurance coverage is not going to cover the insulin. And for her to purchase it here in the States, it's over $1,000 to purchase insulin. One. Two, there is an escasez. How do you say escasez in English? There is a, there isn't enough insulina in the U.S. There's a shortage because influencers and people realize that se pueden inyectar insulina para bajar hasta 7 libras en una pinche semana.
Isn't that crazy?
That is fucked up.
Yes.
That is fucked up, yes. First of all. I would never do that. I would never take medication to use for something else when it was intended for something else. And
especially insulin, when people rely on that
to live
day to day,
to be able to live,
yeah,
exactly. So then, pues dijimos, vamos a buscarla a Tijuana, y la fuimos a encontrar. And literally, it was like $200, $250 for a pack of three, and that pack of three was going to be over $1,000 here in the US. So fuimos el viernes, regresamos el sábado, nos la pasamos chido. Then Sunday hit. We were also having a great time. I think we all had breakfast. We were having breakfast. And then, ¿cómo se llama? Was it Saturday or was it Sunday?
Sunday.
And then we get a call that my brother and my sister-in-law had to leave to Mexico as an emergent last minute. So they took, se fueron por Tijuana. Entonces los tuve que ir a dejar yo. We wanted to talk about this, basically mental health, and also talking to children about death. Because a couple months ago, Judit and I sat down and we were like, do you remember anybody passing away or anybody being in the hospital when you were a little kid? And I don't remember that. I mean, we didn't grow up with a huge family here in the States. But I don't remember my dad, my mom, or anybody being sick or us going to a funeral. And so we were talking about my nephew, who is 8 years old.
Yeah, he's eight.
And first of all, he went through your surgery.
He's gone through a lot.
Yeah, we were so, like, I felt sad.
Within the span of, like, a year.
2 years.
Yeah, and months even, because two years ago during COVID, it started with me. I had my gallbladder removed. And so aside from that, like it happened during like the riots, the Black Lives Matter, and it was COVID and everything was like shut down. People were just, it was a weird time, right? And so that was already weird for him because he was trying to understand why he had to, you know, quedarse en la casa y por qué no estábamos saliendo and why we couldn't even go to the park. And then I get my gallbladder removed and then I have to go to the hospital and I'm there for a week by myself. And so he's trying to understand that, like, why do I have to be there by myself and what is going on? Then I come home and he's kind of just like, what the fuck, you know, like, what is happening? And then a month after that, then Luis has to go to the hospital for the same reason. And so I think at this point, Richie's kind of like,
what is going on?
He's like scared.
If it was already difficult for we're not saying my nephew is an isolated case. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is if already everything was bananas and weird, right, with COVID and everything that was going on in the news, then you add to that your closest uncles went into the hospital, got surgery. He obviously saw us after the surgery and we both looked like crap because we lost a lot of weight. We couldn't even move. So we literally looked like The Walking Dead, like the cast of The Walking Dead. And so he went through that. Y luego he went through my mom being diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And so that was obviously new to all of us. We didn't know, like, when you hear breast cancer, the first thing you think is somebody's going to die, you know? And when you hear the word cancer. And so that was difficult because when my mom told us, we were all having breakfast and we all cried and we were all just so scared because we didn't know what was going to happen. And so he obviously witnessed that. And then the COVID thing happened and my uncle passed away. Mm-hmm. And he obviously realized that. But we were just talking about mental health and how we can help my children. Nephew. Well, my nephew, if you're listening and you have children or nephews, like, these are some of the things that you should take into consideration. At least for us, this is how it has evolved and how it's changed and how we've been able to manage and cope with these things in a way where we are not, sugarcoating things for him. Like, we're not telling him everything, but we are trying to help him understand what is going on. And so the first time we thought about this was, my mom is a huge believer in God, and she's always like, what did she say? Dios. So he says, primero Dios, todo va a estar bien. And the first time we got a glimpse of this, because that is what my mom says. My mom says, primero Dios, todo va a estar bien. And so he's obviously heard that, and he really believes that if you say that, that things are going to be fine. So his teacher went and got a surgery. We don't know what happened, but it was during Zoom season.
Yeah.
And the teacher was like, hey, next week is going to be there's going to be somebody else, and I'm not going to be here. So please pay attention. I'm going to go and get surgery. And so when they were doing Zoom class or Zoom teaching, the teacher basically said, hey, class, next week you're going to have a substitute teacher because I'm going to go into surgery. Please behave. Does anybody have any questions? And she said that Richie raised his hand and she asked, ¿qué pasó? What's going on? And Richie was like, primero Dios, todo va a salir bien, maestra. And the teacher was so impacted by this because nobody else gave a rat's ass. Everybody was doing whatever, right? She called my sister-in-law and said, hey, I was so impacted by Richie and his response. And so my sister-in-law mentioned that to us, and we were like, we need to have a conversation with him because he thinks that by saying those words, that everything will be okay. Like, everything was okay with you. Everything was okay with me. Everything was okay with grandma. So we need to let him know that is our wish for people, that everything comes out right. But
things could go a different way.
Exactly, that things could go a different way and they might not even make it. So we had a conversation with him and we said, hey, why did you tell your teacher, primeramente Dios, todo va a salir bien? And that's exactly what he said. He said, because Emma always says that, and every time she says it, people get better. And we're like, okay, we thought that that's why you said it, but Richie, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you may wish that upon someone, you may want them to feel better, get better, and they might not survive. But that doesn't mean that that's because of your fault, because the last thing we wanted is that maybe he says it once or twice or whatever, and then
something else happens.
He
feels bad.
Exactly. So mental health is super important, but I think that growing up, there were definitely a lot of things that I wish my parents had more tools to help navigate things with us. And I think that now with Richie, with our nephew, both Judith and I, were able to do things different. Because, I mean, what's your background?
I mean, yeah, just teaching him that it's all right, you know, because, yeah, like Luis said, when I grew up, even the little things que te dan apodos, and even like, ay, no seas menso, or like, there's a saying that dad says that he's always like, no seas piedra, right? His is like, for him, that means like, don't be dumb. And he used it a lot with us, but I think it was more of him kind of, I don't know, parents say these things to motivate you, según, ¿no? Porque no saben de otra forma hablarte, porque pues ellos no, they didn't have that background. They didn't have their parents tell them or teach them, right? So they're...
They haven't gone to therapy.
Yeah, and so they're kind of like learning too, right? Para ellos es como, okay, ¿cómo puedo motivar a mis hijos? Oh, let me just fucking tell them that they're dumb. Yeah, and in reality, that really does affect, like, you as an adult. And I think that's where we're coming from with this, is that when we talk to Richie, we tell him, you know, hey, you know, you might hear these things from us, but we don't mean it, you know. We try our best to not call him anything. I don't think we do, actually. We don't.
And that,
even when my parents, le dicen, por ejemplo, there's like, le dicen.
I can't even think of it.
Yeah, thing. I don't think we use it a lot with our nephew.
My mom started, because my nephew is light skinned, and my mom started when he was little calling him mi corazón blanco. And I put a quick stop to that immediately. Yeah. And I said, no, you cannot do that. You cannot call him that. Because as it is, he's going to have so much privilege because he's a man. And he's male. And he's light skinned.
Yeah.
And so you cannot continue to push that on him that, oh, you're different because you're light skinned and you're estás bonito y estás esto. So we, Judith and I, put a stop to that. But where we're going with this is, my brother and his wife had to leave to Mexico for a funeral last minute. And of course, when they got the call, pues, ooh, what do? You react.
Yeah.
Right? And the reaction is not always a calm reaction. The reaction is always like, nah! And you bust out in tears and yelling and crying, which is normal.
Yes. But also give all of you a sense that, like, Richie has already, like, experience that first emotion, right?
Yeah.
With like me, with Luis, with my mom. And so I think
with my uncle passing.
With my uncle. So I think with him it was kind of like, like as soon as I'm sure he saw my sibling and my sister-in-law crying, he must have felt like, fuck, something is happening.
So my sister-in-law and my brother, now that they're back, told us that he started throwing up. And usually when he gets nervous, he throws up. So I went to go pick them up, and I took them to the airport, and I told Judy, do you mind coming with me? Because on our way back, we're going to be with Richie, and I want to make sure that we talk to him and that we figure out how he is. So we dropped off my brother and my sister-in-law at CBX, and as soon as they left, Richie was in the car by himself in the back, and we asked them, hey, how are you? Are you okay? How do you feel? And his first response was, I don't want to talk about it right now. And our response to him was, that's fine. We will respect that. We will respect that you don't want to talk about it, and we're not going to ask you any questions, Richie. But when you're ready to talk about it, let us know, because it's important for you to talk about how you're feeling, what happened. If you have any questions, if you're confused, let us know. And he was like, thank you. And so we were quiet for a good, 40 minutes, an hour into the ride back.
We were even trying to make him feel a little better by asking him if he wanted, like,
something to eat or
like, what do you want to listen to? Do you want to grab a snack? Anything like that. And he didn't. He was quiet. I mean, he was super bummed, actually. He was very, very bummed.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to talk about it, which we were like, you know what? It's okay. Like, just know that you eventually have to talk about it, because it's important that you, you know, express how you're feeling, and also let us know how you're feeling so that we can, you know, help you, because he was going to stay with us for a couple days. So we wanted just to make him feel comfortable and make him feel that everything was going to be all right.
And then on top of that, I don't know, halfway through the, like, coming back home, he realized, oh, I don't know if I have my backpack for school. So he looked in the back, and sure enough, the backpack wasn't there. And he started getting nervous, and we said, hey, it's okay. Listen, you always take your school supplies. You always take your backpack. We will go and talk to the professor or at the office and let them know what happened. What do you have in there that you have to use? And he said a notebook and pencils. And I said, okay, well, we are going to go and get you a notebook and pencils tomorrow so that you have supplies for Tuesday. And so he calmed a little bit down. But how you react as an adult to these things
is super important.
Is very important. It's because like, we could have been like, ay, Richie, ¿y ahora?
Yeah.
Then you are propagating this insecurity and
making it worse,
right? So within an hour, he was like, Dewey's, I'm ready to talk about it. And I was just like, I didn't think he was going to talk about it the whole way to the house. So we proceeded to acknowledge him and hear him out. And so he told us everything that happened. And we said, that's part of life. That happens. And literally he and his mom had gone to visit. So about a month ago or a month and a half, he had actually gone to Mexico to visit this family member. And he started talking about, I'm so lucky that I was able to spend some time with this family member, and how he dedicated a song and they sang together and no sé qué. And so that's what we used as leverage. Like, Richie, you have to remember all those good times. Remember when you spent time with them, when this and that, and they're in a better place now, right? And so I think him saying this out loud and remembering and also acknowledging the fact that he was scared and that he felt confused and everything happened so fast, like, that is important. That is very, very important, especially for a child that is from, like, I would say from 3 to 10 years old, because those are the years in which
you remember the most things.
You remember the most things. And anything that happens can be super impactful, right?
Yes.
So we got home, and one of the things that I told my mom, I texted her and I said, don't ask Richie anything. Tell my dad not to ask him anything. If he wants to share anything with you all, let him share it. But do not question. Do not start asking. Do not start mentioning anything. Like, don't. And we got home. My mom was like, hola, Richie, ¿cómo estás? Are you hungry? ¿Qué te doy de comer? Blah, blah. And then literally, like maybe 40 minutes after we got home, he himself, solito, le dijo, Emma, did you know what happened? And my mom was like, ¿qué pasó, Richie? And so he started explaining it again. So I think it's so important to give children autonomy. And I see that now because we have a nephew, one. And two, because I've taken therapy, and every single thing that has impacted me as an adult, I've realized that it is because of something that happened as a child.
Yeah, no, and I think that that's, I mean, aside from it making us who we are now, but I think it's also the biggest, like, core value that you should, you know, break that cycle, because one day we're gonna be parents, and one day we're going to go through these things, right? And we're going to have to just be cautious with how we do things and how we say things to our children, because it really does affect you. Even with me, like, yo me acuerdo que so many, like, school things going on at school, right? And mom wasn't there. And I couldn't understand that when I was a child. I was always like, well, why isn't she here? Why is she missing everything? And so I didn't know that. And my mom never said, hey, no voy a poder ir porque blank, blank, and blank, right? It was just kind of like, she just didn't tell me anything and she just didn't show up. But now as an adult, it's like those little things do carry on, because now I understand fully that it was just her giving me a bigger opportunity to succeed, right? She was literally giving me everything, como dicen, bandeja de plata. So yes, of course, it's very important how you talk to your children. And especially, I'm also like I'm a youth advocate. And so when I talk to my kiddos, one of the biggest things that I learned, and from my mom, was that a child's self-esteem is where you, like, put it, right? However you talk to them is how they're going to feel. So it's like really, really important that you are very careful with how you talk and that you validate how they feel. Even if they're young, like you might think, oh, they're just little kids. No, like, yeah, they're little kids, but they also have feelings and they also feel and they also, you know, have these like emotions that they're probably like, hey, I'm feeling this, but I don't know exactly why I'm feeling this. And I think that's how it is with Richie. He felt all these emotions because he saw everything of how it happened and how it went down. And he wasn't even sure how to like talk about it because he was just probably soaking it all in.
And the other thing that is also super important, and I know that this might sound weird because we don't have children, right? The other thing that is super important that I want to recalcar is de que es super importante que le des autonomía a un niño. And I think that this is important because you teach them that they do have control over what they want and don't want to do. And I think this is why it's important. When we were little kids, my mom would always make us say hi, saludar a alguien de beso y abrazo. And even when I didn't want to say hi or be hugged by certain people porque simplemente no me caían bien, I had to do it. Otherwise, my mom would reprimand us at home, right? Whether it be quitándonos un dulce or TV or whatever the case may be. But I think it's important that if children don't want to do this, don't force them to do anything that they don't want. And as my nephew, as my brother and my sister-in-law came back from this trip, they told us that they asked Richie if he wanted to go. And Richie said, no, I don't want to go. And I told them that that was amazing. And I'm so happy that they did that. Because my sister-in-law's sister actually took her children with her. And I also understand that maybe she didn't have who to leave the children with at home or whatever the case may be. I would not want to put my children through something so tragic. And so, because people were going to act a certain way. I mean, somebody had just passed away and there's just so many elements. And so I was very happy that they actually asked them what if he wanted to go or not. He obviously decided not to go. But I think that that's important to give children autonomy.
They really do understand everything and they soak everything in. And sometimes it could be difficult for them to just try to understand. No, they're niños. And so they're there and they're like, no sé qué pedo, no sé qué está pasando, but I have to be here.
But they do understand. O sea, son niños, no, sí, entienden a su manera, pero sí, sí entienden. Sí. Y por eso es importante que les expliquen y que you don't have to sugarcoat it. I'm not saying you have to be and give them all the details, but speak to them in a way that they will, that you will help them understand.
And acknowledge what is going on.
And acknowledge their feelings. Y por último, porque ya se me está acabando el tiempo, please be very aware of how you speak to your children. Because I've seen people, adults, parents, speak to their children in public. And I'm like, wait, no chingas mames. That's not fucking cool.
Yeah, that's...
Apodos. No les den apodos. La chata, que negrito, que gordito, que flaquito, que su puta madre. No les den apodos. Una. Dos. Do not ask your children, ¿ya tienes novia? ¿Ya tienes novio? ¿Te gusta un niño? ¿Te gusta una niña? Because already from a very, very young age, you're telling them that the heteronormative is the norm. And that's what they should do. If they are heteronormative, pues qué chingón. But if they're not, then you're pushing them into a closet because then they are not going to feel comfortable in coming to you and telling you, hey, mom, dad, I'm gay, I'm queer, I'm bi, I'm this, I'm that. They're not going to tell you. Y dos, this helps with them trusting you. Cuando te digan algo, as much as you don't want to hear it or no te gusta, acknowledge the fact that they're sharing something with you because my nephew shares with his parents all the time. Y cuando a mi hermano y a mi cuñada no le gusta algo que hace o que le dice, they let him know. Listen, Richie, thank you for sharing with me, but I don't like that you did this because XYZ. So do not do those things. Think about them, right? Think about how you speak to your child. Think about how you and the words that come out of your mouth. Right? My dad didn't mean to hurt us when he was like, no seas piedra. But he literally was saying, no seas menso. And that can affect you in so many different ways, right? So if anything, if you have children, please think about how you speak to your children. Think about how you acknowledge their feelings. Think about, ¿cómo se llama?
Kind. I think that's like the biggest thing because, yeah, they're young. They're going, they go through different like emotions and different, you know, things, but we're all human at the end, you know, we're all human and we all feel things and we shouldn't have to put our own loved ones down, you know, especially if it's like your child. I think that's like the biggest thing. Like, why would you?
Y por último, no digan los niños no lloran y las niñas juegan con muñecas. Because again, anyways, ya nos tardamos aquí un chingo. We really wanted to talk about this because we saw the impact that it had on our nephew. And we also know that our raza, our comunidad, may not always necessarily have the necessary tools to be able to navigate through this. And we hope that by listening to this episode, it at least gets you thinking. And if you yourself don't have children, but you have nephews, talk to your siblings, to your nephew's parents about how they talk to them. Y por último, I mean, those are my closing thoughts. What about you?
No, yes, definitely that. And also, I mean, the world is already a whole bunch of nonsense.
O sea, ya se va a acabar en cinco años.
Like, you know, you just want to be present and there for your children and make them feel that they are
important
and that they can go to you whenever and that they, you know, that they have this safe place. Porque, again, coming from me as an advocate, I've had kiddos come to me and tell me things where then I have to tell the parents and they're like, yo no sabía eso. And it's like, damn, like you kind of see what, you know, they're going through at home or the kind of connections they have at home
or not. They don't have a connection with their parents.
And it sometimes does break your heart.
Pero we want to end this very serious episode with something really positive. We got our first review on Apple Podcasts. Muchísimas gracias. We really, really appreciate it. Please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Rate us 5 stars and 5 stars only, como decía mi buen amigo Fabi Fab de Latinos Who Lunch. And do you want to read it?
Yes. This is from Serra 2. Love the podcast. Thank you for creating and producing the podcast. I don't have any Spanish-speaking friends where I live, so this helps me keep up with my Spanish and Mexican sayings. Also, thank you for being open about your family challenges. Much love from MD. Thanks, MD. We appreciate it. Yes,
muchas gracias. That was a really, like, that wasn't just a, I love it. Like, that was an actual thought out.
And our first review.
And our first review. Exactly. Our first review as sibling co-hosts here. So, MD, muchísimas gracias. Thank you so much. Y qué lástima que no haya mucha gente que hable español. Ahí donde tú estés. Pero sabes que cuentas con nosotros. Y ráyales la cola en español. Porque ni siquiera se van a dar cuenta.
I know. They're not even going to understand.
Muchísimas gracias. Thank you. Thank you so much. And remember to follow me on TikTok at _DIGUE or on Instagram at _DIGUE.
Yes. And keep listening to us. Thank you. We appreciate you all. And por si no me quieren.
Well, no te quieren. No te quieren. Por si no te quieren, ¿qué? Les voy a hacer brujería, ¿ok?
No, I was going to say, yes, follow us. I think I had a follower from, I think I saw her. She had
a follower for her one lash business. I mean, sounds about right.
But I was like, oh my God, people are listening. That is pretty awesome. So thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I also want to send a shout out to Rosa.
Oh my God, yes, girl. That is like my bestie.
You see, como no te quiere, tu bestie.
No, shout out to my friends who listen to our podcast and they're always on like, what is going on? When are you going to post the next episode? And yes, I love you guys for that. Keep listening.
All right, bye.
Bye.